was nearly black. Strange that, he thought distantly. When there is so much blood all at once, it appears black instead of red. Harrison had never killed a man, in a duel or otherwise, before this day, this awful bloody day. He scraped a hand over his face and shook his head to clear it. He had taken a life. He, the 8th Duke of Blackmoor, was a murderer. Bile rising in his throat threatened to spew forth in violent rebellion against his control. He turned instinctively from the sight of the other man's body, staggering several paces away to where brambles grew between looming trees. Great heaving breaths filled his lungs with the smell of crushed grass and moist earth, a respite from the metallic tang of blood, a foul odour of death. A hand gripped his shoulder. Henry's mellow voice muttered reassuringly.
Not to worry, old friend. Atherborn challenged you, and all was conducted properly. Prosecutions for this sort of thing are rare as virgins at Madame de Chartres, which is to say, quite.
Harrison had always enjoyed his friend's droll sense of humour, but found nothing amusing about these circumstances.
He is.
His jaw clenched as he stared at the ground.
He was a Viscount. You think his death will be so easily dismissed? Yes, he was a Viscount, and you are a Duke. Privileges of rank and all that.
A hiss left his lungs and he jerked away in disgust. Henry caught his arm. While the man was smaller than Harrison, both shorter and slighter, his grip was oddly strong, urgent.
I wouldn't have thought you harboured such naivete, Blackmoor. This distasteful situation has come to a natural, albeit unexpected, conclusion. I suggest you accept what has happened and consider the cause of honour as having been satisfied.
Rarely had he heard the affable Earl of Dunstan use such a forceful tone. His friend obviously feared Harrison would follow his conscience into self-destruction, but that would be reckless, and if there was one thing Harrison was not, it was reckless. In point of fact, he was generally regarded as rather emotionless, a cold fish, and a stuffy one at that. His brother Colin had told him on numerous occasions his mere presence in a room lowered the temperature to below freezing. While that was something of an exaggeration, Harrison knew his personal standards of control and strict adherence to propriety would be intimidating to some. Stuffy he might be, and yes, perhaps others would see him as cold, but that was because they knew nothing of what true coldness was. Reluctantly, he turned to where Atherborn lay, still and lifeless. Tannenbrook stood over the man, looking bleak as the surgeon knelt next to the body, nodding in confirmation. It settled in then, the truth of what he'd done. Dunstan was right. The law would probably never come for him, but a man could not kill without consequences. He felt a wave of ice unfurl and spread through his inside. It might take months, or even years. But one day, he thought, pivoting toward the rising sun, one day, the devil would come to claim his due. Chapter 1.
Bah! The London season has become little more than an exhibition of vapidness. One may choose to tolerate such a display, but only a half-wit enjoys it.
The Dowager Marchioness of Wallingham, at her weekly luncheon, a mere 5 days after arriving in town. April 20, 1816. Mayfair. If it were possible to swoon from boredom, Victoria Lacey expected she would now be lying on the grey marble floor of Lady Gattingford's ballroom, succumbed to a fit of the vapours.
My dear, we will have to arrange a visit at Lord Gattingford's country estate after the wedding. Capital fellow. Has a pair of hounds, he assures me, are the finest in all England. Well, I can tell you, I simply must see that for myself.
Victoria gazed at her fiancé's handsome features. Light brown hair with a bit of charming curl, sweet blue eyes with long lashes, and nice, even teeth revealed when he smiled, which was frequently. She so wished she felt something more than mild affection, a single, solitary tingle. Dash it all, perhaps even two or three. But no, he was comfortable, much like a wash-worn dress, the fabric dulled in colour, but soft and familiar.
Since we will be in the area, Dunstan invited us to join him at Fairfield Park. His annual hunt is in November, I believe.
She murmured agreement and glanced toward the whirling dancers at the...